Welcome to What's Up in Jeju, where I visit places around the island and talk about what's happening with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter Bint.
Today, maybe to wake ourselves up, we've got an interesting outdoors adventure.
That's right. I'm going to bring you all to just a few of the many Odum around on the island. Peter, are you familiar with Odum?
We've talked about Odums a few times on this segment. I'm not sure if me and you have done so, but I'm always a little confused about how to define them. So yeah. I'll be honest, while you were talking, I was translating the podcast-like brief for today's episode.
Okay.
And I thought, what should I put in brackets next to Odum? So I just looked up on Wikipedia and it says, it refers to a small rising defunct volcano on Jeju Island.
Yeah, nice. So that's correct. They're essentially mini volcanoes, more or less. And their official titles are parasitic cones.
Uh-huh. Okay, parasitic cones doesn't sound as lovely as Odum. So we got a photo to show what this is.
Yeah, why don't we take a look at this photo? Now, this isn't a picture of Jeju. This is just a French island in the Indian Ocean. But I thought it demonstrates a really good example of what a parasitic cone is. So in the background, what you see is your main volcano. In the foreground is your parasitic cone. And it's actually just a mini defunct volcano, as you said, but it's actually a part of the larger volcano in the back. Now, if you come back to me, I will show you exactly how they work on the whiteboard here.
Oh, nice. Well, this photo, that's amazing. That little mini parasitic cone is still quite big because you can see the people
are tiny. That's right.
Okay, and then you're going to do a little whiteboard lesson. Okay, here we are.
Can you see me here? Can you see the whiteboard okay?
I can see the whiteboard,
okay.
Yep.
So I'll go ahead and I draw my volcano here. Here's my main volcano.
Yep.
And then the thing is, as you typically know, lava goes ahead and erupts and shoots out the top, right? Okay? And that's how we typically know how...
That's your regular volcano.
Yeah, that's your regular volcano. But sometimes what happens is, due to pressure and cracks during the eruption... Little eruptions will actually shoot out the side of the volcano, right?
Oh.
Okay. Now, it's not just like jagged rocks. These actually form also these little mounds here. And those are your... That's essentially
on the side
your...
of the volcano.
Yeah, that's right. And those, so they kind of look like little parasites or whatever, but they're not. They're just offshoots of the main eruption. So that's why we call them parasitic cones. And, in Jeju, we call them Odum. I want you to imagine kind of like a tea kettle that has so much pressure that not only does it shoot out the top, but little tiny offshoots start shooting out the side. That would be a parasitic cone or an Odum. That's how that works.
That would be a terrible tea kettle, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming in Jeju, are they all kind of centered around Hallasan? Because that's our biggest mountain, quote-unquote, defunct volcano.
That's right. That's the main one, right? So they're essentially just offshoots of Hallasan.
Okay, so how many are there?
There are over 360 Odum on the island.
Wow,
yeah,
that's a lot.
Now, I just told you how they're scientifically and actually made, but as far as legend goes, you may be familiar with Somunde. She is the creation goddess of Jeju, and in the process of making Jeju, she was carrying soil to pack together to make Hallasan and to make Jeju itself. But then bits of dirt and chunks fell through her skirt. We have to imagine she's like massive. She's this massive goddess. So bits of chunks and dirt fell through, and those became Odum. And when she was done, she felt Hallasan was a bit too sharp at the top, so she just took it off and tossed it to the side. That became Sangbangsan Mountain, which is technically a massive Odum. And yeah, that's how that was made. Yeah,
I prefer that story to the magma splitting out the side of the mountain.
Right, so our first Odum we're hitting today is Jejigi Odum, located in Pomuk Village. It's not very tall. It's just shy of 100 meters, but it's a nice walk.
And Rao says, that's the way you make islands as well. I guess so, right? Like underwater volcanoes erupting. We've seen that happen, like in really cool footage from places around the world, I remember, where that lava then solidifies and makes new land. I wonder, if there's any real difference apart from one being above ground and one being underwater, like those little islands you showed in your background. Those, I guess, could be kind of like parasitic cones as well.
Well, again, parasitic cones are a part of a main volcano, right? A main volcanic.
Okay.
And as far as islands, I mean, now we're getting into geography. Islands can be made in different ways. Volcanic is a big one, of course, but then also you could just have two tectonic plates smashing together and both of those rising up, and you'll get a chain of islands, and that's not volcanic. So islands can be made in different ways, but whenever you see those, like, spectacular videos of islands happening before your eyes, there's footage of that. That's generally underwater volcanic eruptions that's shooting out from the water. So,
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, Raikim bringing it back down to Earth, saying it's just like a hill, isn't it? Yeah, I suppose that's a nice way of thinking about it. Sangbansan says, Siska, oh, that's an Aurum. She's been to Jeju a few times, and I don't think she knew that, because it's just called Sangbansan, like, mountain many foreigners, I guess. But that's one of the bigger ones, right?
That's right. So a lot of these Aurum here, they might not even have, like, Aurum attached to their name, but they could technically be Aurum. But again, yes, they are hills, but if you go to the top, some of them do have, like, craters. Now, it's so grown in that you won't really be able to see, because it's just bush and trees, and you won't really be able to see into the crater that well. But yeah, they'll have craters.
Oh, interesting. If you look close enough. I mean, does it feel different to, like, the little mountains we have here in Seoul, like when you go up it and stuff? Can you tell, oh, this is a defunct volcano, apart from if it's got a crater or not?
Yeah, I guess not really. I mean, if you're hiking it, it does just feel like a grown-in hill, right? But I would say, I guess the biggest difference is that the fact that it does have the depression or the crater in many of them.
Okay. So you mentioned there's more than 360 different Aurums on the island. If we're going to get to the other, like, 359, we better get a move on, I suppose. Could you, like, access and hike them all if you wanted to?
That's a really tough question to answer. It really depends on accessibility, as some may be quite hard to get to or climb because they may not even be maintained. So there may not even be any trails. And if you're familiar with just Jeju bush, it is grown in. You can't get in it. It's just thorns and patches. But we also have to consider that a lot of the land is already owned. So it's really up to those that own the land to make them accessible or how accessible. However, if you are familiar with Jeju Ole, the hiking course that goes around the island, they make an effort to include at least one Aurum per course. So if you're hiking Jeju Ole Trail, there's a big chance you'll hit up one.
Oh, that's interesting. Trying to get one on each course, minimum. So we've got another image of the Aurums on the island. Not all of them, I assume.
Well, this is really cool. So we mentioned how accessible these Aurum are. This poster is made by a company, Aurumer. It's a scratch-off map that challenges you to hike up to 100 Aurum. So, I don't know, if you hit 100, that's a win, I would say. So, there you go.
Yeah.
There's at least 100 you could go up.
You deserve at least a pat on the back for that.
Yeah.
So, we're going to go up another different Aurum. Where are we headed this time?
Right. So, let me do a little map time, because I wasn't able to do it because I was showing you my lesson here.
Oh, with the same whiteboard. That's very resourceful, Mark.
So, number one was down there in the red. If you could see, that's just east of Sogepo.
Southern side. Okay.
Right. Now, we're headed a bit west of Sogepo to number two. And that is Gunsan Aurum.
Gunsan Aurum.
Yeah, Gunsan Aurum. Now, if you remember our village ventures to Daepyeongri, do you remember that?
Daepyeongri rings a bell, but I can't remember what was in Daepyeongri. I apologize, Daepyeongri. What was there?
So it was known for the large fields, and also we touched base in the local bagel shop there, if you remember.
Oh, with the bagel, the middle bits as
well.
Yeah,
where I tricked you with the rocks and everything. That's right.
That was good. Okay, right. And that person, like, had moved down there, and they were passionate about that, and having, like, village people come. Okay, there's an Aurum there.
Right. So in that village, overlooking that entire village right there is Gunsan Aurum. And it's pretty interesting, because if you look at it, it almost looks like a pair of horns, because there's like a pair of peaks right at the top. I don't know. It kind of reminds me more of like a manta ray. and it's much taller at 334 meters.
Sure. Even on clear day, you couldn't see past Hallasan, mm-hmm. obviously, because yep. it's so tall. But mm-hmm. you could see the rest of the other side of the island, I'm guessing, mm-hmm. out into the sea and whatnot. That is lovely. I was just curious, because we've got Umyeonsan Mountain just across the road from us, which isn't insignificant, but it's not a massive mountain either. So I was trying to compare the height. That's 293 okay. meters. And whenever I drive past, there's like the stairs that just go straight up yeah. to the top. Yeah. That looks quite intimidating. So yeah, I imagine going, what did you say, 334 meters from the bottom to the top? That mm-hmm. would take some good thighs.
It would. But again, I would say like a lot of these Odum, they're not as steep and jagged as probably some of those hills and rock cliffs you'll find in Seoul. Because it's just different formation, right? But because these are essentially mini volcanoes, they are a bit more forgiving because they have a slow, like a slower incline with some. It depends. It depends each Odum. Okay. Some can be steep. Some can be more gradual. I find that Gunsan Odum is a bit more gradual, but, you know, it's 334 meters. It's going to take you a while to get up there. So, as you said, need some big thighs.
So, if you're driving up, where's the highest point you can get to on that? Not to the very top, right?
Not to the very top, but, man, I mean, when you're pretty close. I don't know. Maybe it was like 15, 20-minute walk from there. It's up. It's directly up. You're probably at the steepest part of the Odum, but you get all the way up there. But wow. as I said, you really have to mind how narrow the road is, and people, there are so many blind corners, like people just like barrel down and they're not paying attention, and it's not like I can go over. I can't just pull over for you because I'm gonna go off the side of the Odum, right? So that's something you have to think
I'm
about.
Surprised there aren't more accidents. That's insane. Moonstar, so you'll be okay, because Moonstar said stairs, hills, bye-bye, I'm staying at home. But if you drive like part of the way up, you can just take a few stairs mm-hmm. up there, and I'm sure there's still a nice view from other parts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, we showed you that poster by Odumer. Take your pick. There's so many different Odums. I'm sure you could find, you know, there's at least 100 you could hit. I'm sure you could find the perfect one that fits the bill just for you. Maybe not too hot, not too hard, not too steep, just fits right.
Yeah. I'm assuming most of these Odums, if not all of them, it's probably not advised to hike them in the night times. I'm guessing most aren't lit up or anything like that.
No, no way. I mean, even Jeju Ole, which is like the most hiked course on the island or in the country, they advise that you don't go after 6 p.m. It's just quite dangerous. No lights. Yeah. And yeah. I'd really advise against that.
Yeah, here in Seoul as well, there are only a few select peaks or walking courses that are lit up for like evening strolls. Not many. One I can think of sometimes is over at Sangam, where they have the Sky Park, which isn't really a mountain. It's more of a refuse dump that has been kind of nicely tended into a grassy knoll, a big field there that they have some nice tea lights there. Steve is asking an interesting question. Is there a bus service to the base of the Odums? I guess it really depends on which one.
Yeah, that's the correct answer. It really depends on which one. As far as like, there's no like official like Odum tour bus, although that'd be cool. I think that'd be a cool idea.
Yeah.
You just have to know the bus schedules and it really, oh man, I mean, we did an episode on how tough bus travel can be here on the island in the first place. So, it's just kind of have to do your homework, get one of those posters, and, you know, if you rent a car, it ain't too bad. I mean, I found the Odums just fine. Yeah, you'll find a place to park and get right to it.
Nice. So, in our third and final part, which Odum are we going to?
Right, so this one is quite popular, and in our next photo, you'll find out why that is.
Oh, okie dokie. So, we've got 4 horses here. You can horse ride up it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No, don't do that. Please don't do that.
No. Okay.
So those,
there are wild horses here?
Well, I wouldn't say they're I would say they're semi-domesticated, but those are free-range Jeju horses, and they can be found on Mundoji Odum, and it's located in Gumak Village. If we take a look at me, map time, it's the green number 3 Odum over here towards the west.
Okay, so yeah. We've gone out to the central western mm-hmm. side. Nice. So they are not present on many autumns, I'm expecting, if it's quite special here.
Right, that's right. Because, and I mentioned it in the video, this autumn is actually owned by a horse rancher. So he's made it public. He's given public access to folks who can hike up. It's also part of Jeju Ole Trail as well. In fact, I have a funny story about it. This is actually at the end of one of the Jeju Ole courses. So I was hiking it. I was exhausted, uh-huh. and it's quite steep, and I'm just hiking up. But as I'm climbing up, these young ladies, these women in their 20s, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, and beautiful white dresses are like coming down the hill. So I'm like, what is going on right now? Is there some like, am I running into
have
some like?
Have you gone to heaven? Have you died?
I know, or some like woodland nymph. Like ceremony or something, right? So, uh-huh. so I was so confused because I just had all my hiking gear and I'm just like disgusting. And I go up to the very top, and there you'll see the clearing. You'll see it in the video. Is folks with the free range horses? They're pretty chill with people. Again, they're still animals, so you have Ooh. To respect that. But yeah, so these folks are going up there trying to take selfies and photos with these Jeju horses.
That autumn is really long. Like, it doesn't feel like the others. It doesn't feel like a little peak to, yeah. like, finish things off. It's just, like, a long hill.
And if you look at the path, it's kind of, like, almost a C shape, but folks will even say it looks like a horseshoe. So it just kind of loops around.
Perfect for the horses. So there is somewhere, like, for them to live, because it's a horse ranch there. So I'm guessing they're indoors or something like that.
Well, the thing is, I don't know about these horses. I know down at the base near the entrance, there are some pens where you do see some Jeju horse, but they could be different from the ones that we see free range. The interesting thing about Jeju horse is that they have a thicker coat, so they don't need a pen. They can actually stay out all winter long. Granted, Jeju's winter is a bit more temperate than, say, up near you guys. But if you look at them, they are actually quite shaggy looking. So throughout history, they didn't necessarily need to be covered at all times. They'll find plenty cover under the tree canopy.
Oh, wow. That would have been nice if we saw them, but still a lovely view, like you said. A bit more open, it seems like, from that final autumn. Mundoji, a height of 260 meters. Thank you for the mini tour this week, Mark.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope the folks that are discouraged, they at least can enjoy through our meetup today.
Absolutely. We will see you again next Tuesday, sir.
Yes, sir. See you then.
What's Up in Jeju is supported by the JDC, which is creating a free international city that resembles nature, embraces the future, and reaches the world. I'm Mark Wilson Che, with writer Che Jung-yun. This is Arirang Radio.